Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. The number is 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are talking about the gospel this month. Exactly what is it? And, of course, the scripture is very clear. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some include the ascension of Jesus Christ, those four elements, where we see the completed work that enables us to be saved, to be made alive, to receive forgiveness, to be made righteous, to be declared to be children of God, to be made new inside and out. That's what this gospel message is all about. But here's another aspect of it that is so vitally important. It actually becomes the point of both life or death. So here's how Paul put that in 2 Thessalonians verse 8. So just going to read one verse, actually two verses today, but starting in verse 8. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. So we're either going to believe the gospel unto salvation, or we're going to disobey the gospel unto eternal death, eternal destruction. That's what this passage is, and that's how important this gospel message is. So often we think that we're going to go to hell because of our sins, because of our bad behavior. But in this verse, we learn something different, don't we?
Yeah, you learn the importance of belief. Belief is essential. It's the core response that we have to the gospel message. And that's why what we believe is so very important. It's not what we do, but what we believe that takes center stage. And, you know, so when we're presented with the gospel, we need to hear it, believe it, and then live it. But it's that belief part that really is taking center stage and is so important.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, Jesus took away the sins of the world, and so he condemned sin and sinful man. He presented his blood to the Father. The Father was satisfied with that. The only thing left is this issue of unbelief, this issue of spiritual death. And so if the gospel comes and I reject that, then my judgment is going to be based on the fact that I rejected Jesus. I did not obey the gospel of Christ. That's what sends a person to hell, that they refuse God's offer of life in his Son. And that's where life is to be found. It's not found anywhere else. As John wrote in his first letter, life is in the Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. So those who are going to be separated from God forever, they're going to experience that second death. They're going to experience that because they have not obeyed or believed. And that's what that word means in this particular context. They have not believed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't fully trusted in his death, burial, and resurrection. And I think that's one of those key things that we need to understand about the importance of this gospel message.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and this is where you can hear the important truth about that gospel message every day. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Open lines for you right now if you have that question or particular a topic you'd like to discuss. Why, give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. I wanted to ask about Romans 8:28 through 30, and we know 8:28 pretty well. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. But I want to focus on that last part, those who have been called according to his purpose. Andrew, I know how you say that God doesn't go down the street saying heaven, hell. You go into verse 29, he starts sounding like he's not talking about everyone. And then in verse 30, you don't see the called part until verse 30. And it makes it sound like, wait a minute, maybe he's not calling everyone. So I wanted to get your take on what does he mean by the calling part.
Yeah, I would say that he's not calling everyone because unbelievers don't have a calling. Let's understand what called means here. I mean, if you've got a calling on your life, you know, there's a calling to service, there's a calling to ministry, and that would only be for Christians. So as you back up, you see that, first of all, I think verse 29 is the essential part. What happens first? What happens first is that there are people who God foreknew. That means that God knows the future. God knows our hearts. God knows what's going to happen. God knows what people are going to choose. Now, that doesn't turn them into robots. I can know, maybe I have a crystal ball and I can know who's going to win the Super Bowl next time. But that doesn't mean that I've got all the players on puppet strings and that I'm the master puppeteer up in the sky making a certain team win. It just means that I know the outcome. I can foreknow it. I can know it ahead of time. And so I think that as you read through the logic here of Romans 8, what he's really saying is God could see ahead of time those who would come to Christ. God could see ahead of time those who would believe and receive, and for that whole group called the church, well, he's predestined us to be conformed to his image, and he's also called us, giving us a holy calling, and he's also justified us, and then, of course, there'll be a day when we are physically glorified as well. So, this does not negate the simple idea that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But I think it is saying that, you know, long ago, God could see. I mean, God can see outside of time, and he created our sense of time. And so he knows who's going to receive the gospel and believe it. And anytime we believe, then we enter into a group called the church, called the body of Christ. And that body of our Lord Jesus Christ has been predestined to grow in Christ, predestined to be conformed to his image, and we've also been given a holy calling. So I think that's the train of thought there, Chris, and I don't think it means by any stretch that God is forcing people to believe or that he's pulling strings up in heaven trying to make people believe. They still have a choice.
Okay, good answer. That's all I got.
Okay, Chris.
All right.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah. Well, what we've got are open lines at 844-322-2742. Of course, it's Basic Gospel. We're glad that you've joined us. A question, guys, from Lance, who writes to us from Kentucky. He says, hey, gents, so glad to hear you on the air sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Says, I would like to hear your thoughts on a dispute my wife and I are having with our church denomination. For example, recently in Cleveland, Ohio, a person who identified himself as an ordained minister of the denomination participated in a blessing ceremony on an abortion business. The person claimed to be pro-family, pro-faith, and pro-choice, which, of course, to us is completely contradictory. This sort of thing is not happening here in Kentucky, he says, as far as we can tell. If it was, we would have no trouble leaving for another church. The problem is, we know that at least some of our tithes and donations will go to them, meaning, of course, their contributions into the denomination. He goes on to say, the other side of the coin, of course, is that you're going to find sin and depravity in every church and every denomination under the sun. What would be the best gospel-centered approach to dealing with this particular dilemma? Any advice you can give would be appreciated.
Boy, that's an interesting dilemma indeed, as you know, blessing an abortion clinic. You know, I don't know what that really means or what their intent is, what the motivation of the heart is, but we have a lot to say into that particular issue. The gospel has a lot to say into that particular issue. First, it talks about the sanctity of life, and I think the gospel itself deems us all worthy of salvation in the sense that we were created by God himself. So he cherishes life and wants us to experience life to the full. And the second aspect is in this world, as believers in Christ, as ambassadors, we're ministers of reconciliation. And there is a call or a sending As far as we're concerned, God is sending us out into this world to be ministers of reconciliation, being able to say to folks that God is not counting your sins against you because of the reconciling work of Jesus Christ through his shed blood on the cross. We have that right. We have that privilege. We have that opportunity to carry that message into the world. And boy, that's a message that needs to be heard and taught and proclaimed on that particular issue. I can't think of anything more important to say to somebody that's considering an abortion, somebody that may have had an abortion, to those who are conducting abortions, to be able to bring into that situation this ministry of reconciliation that we've each been called to. And Paul talks about that at length in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Andrew, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. It smells funny to me. I would be concerned about my church, and I'd be concerned about the denomination there. I think you're right to be alarmed by such a thing. For someone to, you know, speak a blessing over an abortion clinic, or to, you know, give a blessing or whatever it is that took place, I just think that's really going into a realm that church doesn't need to be going, and associating themselves with one answer to an unwanted pregnancy like that. I think, you know, there's lots of other healthy options, and, you know, they're not blessing an adoption agency, they're blessing an abortion clinic, and that would send up red flags for me.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. What would that mean to bless an abortion clinic? That it's, well, you know, like you said, there's red flags all over that thing.
But outside of the context of what had happened, I mean, the way the question was asked is, you know, we heard that this pastor prayed a blessing. He may have been there on some completely different issue. I mean, there are so many red flags. Ask the question, what was really going on? Get clarity, and then, you know, make an informed decision based on the facts and the indwelling Holy Spirit. But it sounds strange to me.
Yeah. Well, Lance, hope you're listening and hope that's been a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email if you have a question or some topic you'd like us to discuss. You can do that by simply addressing it to bob@basicgospel.net. And again, right now, plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Keep in mind, friends, that Basic Gospel is definitely a listener-supported broadcast. We need your ongoing support to keep the good news on the air. Keep in mind also that for your gift of any amount, we're going to be sending you a copy of Bob Christopher's CD called Something New, and we encourage you to do that. You can do that by clicking Donate on any page at basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator to make your contribution and request your copy of Something New when you call 844-412-2742. That's our order line, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Hutto, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
How y'all doing today?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Oh, that Romans 8:28. I got a check in my spirit when y'all were talking about it. I just wanted to give a real quick analogy. I see it as, and then listen to your comment. I see it like when my son was born, I saved money every week and every month for him to go to college. And when he graduated from high school, the money was in the bank, okay? But it wasn't his unless he chose to go to college. If he didn't choose to go to college, he didn't get that money. Do you see my analogy in that? Because otherwise, I don't see how you cut it and dice it. It's taking away the free will choice if God knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. It's like I always say, you can't live a second more than what God gives you on this earth, but you can die. You can go a lot sooner by the choices that you make.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't have the same concern that you do. I think God does know the future. I don't think that God knowing the future means that he controls us in any way. God is the author of the book of Revelation. God knew about exactly 144,000 people, you know, enjoying a certain destiny or fate You know, all of these things God knows, the details of Christ's return, the details of an antichrist, the details of some rejecting and some accepting. And I don't think that turns us into robots or puppets. I don't think we have to worry about that at all, because the scripture does tell us that we have a free choice. We can accept or reject, and there's enough warnings in the Bible about, you know, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't reject the gospel. Don't be an enemy of God. So to me, I agree with you. It's crystal clear to me that we have a choice and that we do have a free will and we can accept or reject Christ. But the fact that the Bible in Romans 8 says that God has a foreknowledge, a foreknowing, I don't think that contradicts our free choice in any way. So I hope that's helpful to you.
I see that as Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. But here's my last question then. So that when God created man, did he know that man was going to fall? So why give
Absolutely.
Him a choice? I don't agree. That's okay.
Okay.
We can disagree.
I mean, right. When we go to Romans 8, it doesn't say that God was crucified, you know, crucified Christ before the foundation of the world. That's not what it says at all. It says that God foreknew a certain group of people. The cross is not mentioned there. Jesus is not mentioned there. It says that those who God foreknew. So God foreknew a group of people. He did not foreknow Jesus. He did not foreknow the cross. That's not what's being said here. What's being said is that he foreknew a group of people. And I believe that the word those in that verse refers to the bride of Christ. And that is who God knew would accept him. But it doesn't mean that we became puppets or robots in the process. So we see things a little differently, and that's okay. But in the end, we both believe that every human on this planet has a free choice to receive or reject the gospel.
Amen. I agree.
Well, thank you, Clay. Right. Let's move to Dallas, Texas, and talk to LaShondra, listening to us on K-Word. Did I say that right, LaShondra?
Yes, you did.
Well, welcome. We're glad to hear from you today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I had a question. I've been married for 6 years. My husband has openly admitted to mistreating me in the beginning of the marriage, not physically at all, not cheating on me, but just like mentally not giving into the marriage and trying and pushing me away. Well, I asked God to forgive me. I feel like I forgave him. But right now when situations occur, like the unforgiveness comes back up. And I guess the scriptures that I know, you know, that God will vindicate me and that, you know, if God be for me, who can be against me, and that he is my shepherd. I know these things, but they don't come up in the midst of the situation. And so I'm calling, asking for help with how I could, you know, be a better wife. What could I do to forgive him so that we can have a reconnection?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And, you know, I think, first of all, what you're telling us is that you experience emotions. You experience intense emotions. You know, you've decided to set him free from your scorekeeping. You choose to forgive him. And then 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks later, some new event happens. And what you're saying is, man, I thought I forgave him, and yet I'm feeling all of this unforgiveness. Well, that's because a new circumstance has come up for you, and that's normal. I think, first of all, you need to recognize that just because you feel new emotions welling up within you about some new event, it doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven him for the past. The past is the past, and if you have, with God as your witness, said, you know what, I choose to let my husband off the hook here. I choose to forgive him, and by the power of Christ who lives in me, I'm trusting Christ to give me the attitudes for this, and I forgive him and release him from what he owes me, even if he never apologizes, even if he does it again. I forgive him and release him. And if that's been your attitude, then I would just encourage you to recognize, you know, you have forgiven him. And then when a new thing comes up, well, you know, those are new events and those are new emotions that you feel. And that's normal and natural to feel all of that. But again, you have a will. The beauty of this Christian life is that you have a chooser. You have the ability to choose apart from your feelings. And you can actually choose again and again to drive a stake in the ground and say, you know what? I'm not going to hold this against him. God has forgiven him, and I forgive him too. And I'm not going to let any scorekeeping come between us. I'm destroying the measuring stick. I'm destroying the score pad here. And I'm going to release him from what he owes me. And those are choices that you can make with your will, no matter what the emotions are screaming and no matter how many times a certain event comes up. So don't be alarmed by what you feel, and don't be alarmed by being hurt again and again. All of that is very human and very normal, but the only thing that matters is your response to it. And that's where our choice comes in. So you keep choosing and keep choosing to depend on Christ and keep choosing to destroy that scorekeeping and don't keep score with your husband. And that's really where Christ can continue to heal your marriage together. Does that help?
Okay. It does. Thank you. Thank y'all. Yes. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, LaShondra. You hang on. We'll send you some information. We have a wonderful little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. And let us put that into your hands. Just our compliments to you. And you read through that. And if you have further questions, you call us, okay?
Thank you.
You hang on, LaShondra. We'll get that to you as quickly as we can.
Yeah, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis. And we have a call coming in, but let's see if it's up and ready, Bob.
Let's go and talk with Wayne in New Jersey. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. My computer is not out. I'm trying to find a way to apply for the seminar this Saturday.
Okay. Well, Wayne, let me put you on hold, and we'll give you all the information. We'll just make sure you get registered today, okay? You hang on, and we'll take care of that for you. So thanks for your call. And that's a reminder that this Saturday, Richard, you and I will be in New York City at the King's College for the Simply Grace Tour.
Leaving me behind, of course.
We are leaving you behind, but you have a back that needs to be taken care
of.
That's right. So we're going to let you take care of that. But we will be there this Saturday. We want you to be there as well. All the information on how you can register is at basicgospel.net/events, or just click the events tab on the homepage. It's $30. You will take home with you a copy of the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, plus some other resources. It's going to be a wonderful time together Saturday morning at the King's College, starting at 9 o'clock. Come be there with us. We would love to have you.
And 2 weeks later, of course, the Simply Grace Tour continues in the Washington area. The team will be at Grace Life Community Church in Bristow, Virginia. So all that information as well is available through the events tab at basicgospel.net. Friends, remember that Basic Gospel is on the air every day simply for one reason. That's to get the word out that Jesus is alive, that he's forgiving, that he's loving. He wants all of us to have his life. That's a message that you hear every day on this program. And we say thanks to each of you who partner with us to keep the good news coming. And something new this month, for your gift of any amount, as I said earlier, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's CD entitled Something New. That something new, of course, is the life that Jesus has for us. I hope I didn't give away the plot line there. To claim your copy and support the ministry at the same time, click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. Make your gift today and receive your copy of Something New. And Bob, we and Richard, we had spoken with the listeners prior to this month about the need between now and December 31st. How's it looking financially for the ministry?
Well, this last quarter is always the most significant quarter of the year. Almost 40 or over 40% of our revenue comes in October, November, and December. So we're counting on our listeners to be generous over these next 3 months and really help us to go into 2016 in a very, very strong position. So if the ministry has benefited you, we ask you to give back so that others can be benefited as well. So join the Basic Gospel team. We would love to have you stand with us in partnership of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.